This is the Horse Radio Network.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Glenn the Geek, back with you tonight. I'm founder of the Horse Radio Network, and we welcome you to a special Mongol Derby update episode of Horses in the Morning. We're doing this by Facebook Live at 8 p.m. on Monday evening, August 14th, following day six, heading into day seven of the Mongol Derby. The sound from this will be added to the Horses in the Morning podcast feed. If you miss anything, check that out to later tonight. You can visit horsesinthemorning.com. And we're switching it up tonight. Devin is on her way to Japan, and I'm joined by my co-host. And how do you say your name?
Evo.
And it's Marlo?
Yeah.
Evo Marlo. Two-time competitor at the Mongol Derby and director and producer of the new movie coming out called All the Wild Horses. And this, we just met a few minutes ago, so thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
So this has been fun. I know you've been watching Devin's coverage here the last couple of nights, and she begged you to do this, and I appreciate you joining us.
Of course,
Devin begs and bats her eyelashes, you have to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
you're required.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you rode this twice. This day that we're getting to, where we might see a winner today, you know, what kind of feeling is that when you have the finish line in sight after all of this?
It's very exhilarating because you just know it's going to finish today, and you want to do it. You're cocky because you've survived until, you know, the first 6 days or 7 days, however long you're taking, and you just want to get through the last day unscathed, and you kind of have that confidence at that point, and all you want to do is like go as fast as possible.
I bet.
Yeah. And that's what and I think that's kind of what the front runners are doing. And then further back, they're more relaxed and they're not really thinking about that. And that's the funny dynamic in the race, is that at the front it's all about the winning, and then, you know, just one length, two legs back, it's not about that anymore at all. It's just about, you know, getting through.
And it seems like they've formed a large group back there, and they're all kind of hanging out and riding together.
Yeah. I think that's happened in the last 2 or 3 years. They always had like big packs.
And that's got to be fun. If you know you're not going to win, it's probably more fun to hang out with a whole bunch of people and do it.
Exactly. I think that's a really big point of riding, is you make friends for life. And I talked to a few of the riders before the race. You know, like they kind of want to advise and stuff. And a couple were saying, you know, we're not here to make friends. We're here to win it. and now I see them in the pack at the back, you know. I'm not going to name names, but yeah.
Well, if you're tuning in right now, say hi on the chat so I know who's here and who's hanging out with us. And if you have any questions as we go through with Evo, our coverage here tonight, please do ask. He comes from it from a different perspective. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, too. But let's talk about Leslie first. Leslie is still with us. She is still smiling, apparently. We get reports on Leslie. One of the things that's happened is that the Mongol Derby has figured out that Leslie has a lot of fans. So they've been contacting Devin on a regular basis. They've been posting on Twitter to make sure everybody's updated, because if they don't, they get a ton of tweets. So Leslie's doing fine. She's in that pack about, what, 250 to 300 kilometers back?
Mm-hmm. I think she's pulling out of 18, or she's between 18 and 19 at the moment.
All right, I'll double check exactly here on the tracker, because they have headed out for the next day. So let's talk about the leaders a little bit, and you know some of these people.
Yeah, so I don't know Jackie, I never met him, and I actually looked at the lineup. We have a little betting pool going.
I heard about all the alumni.
All the ex-riders. Did Devin tell you about that?
Yes.
And so... And I looked at him, we had mugshots this year for the first time. And I saw his face, like, and I thought, yeah, he looks like he means business. But then, because I didn't know, and I didn't pick him, And I picked Barry because I know him. He's actually in the film as well. And I know he is there to win. That's why he's gone back. And so I'm kind of disappointed for him that he's not up there front, but he's, you know, he's working hard. But I think, to be fair, I think he's got 20K at least to make up. And,
well, right
and
now
I don't,
I can give it to you exactly. Jackie is way ahead at this point and sitting at 892 with only 108 to go. We have in second now, just pulled out, just changed horses and rode out is Ed. Now, Ed is sitting on some penalties, right?
I think he is still, So he won't be winning it anyway.
Okay. And then we have Barry. So Barry's in second.
Barry. So he will try really, really hard to catch, Jackie.
And he's 30 kilometers back.
Yeah. But 30 kilometers in one day, that's pretty impossible.
Unless you get a really rank horse, right?
Unless Jackie gets a rank horse, or unless he gets a penalty or something. Or, you know, or unless he gets a penalty at the end. Might happen.
Well,
which is what
happened
to Barry.
Devin.
Yeah, and that would be... I'd find that actually funny, because Barry, that was Barry's fate when I filmed him. And, you know, he came in neck and neck with someone else, and then he got a penalty. And he lost the win. And so if he got that this time around, the other way around, I'd be quite happy for him. Actually.
Tell us a little bit about Barry. Barry's also from South Africa, and he's like 51 years old, right?
He is, yeah. And he's and this is the third time he's riding it. I met him when he was riding the second time. And even then he was there to win it. And he had his very good friend Joe with him, Joe Dawson, and they've got a company called The Ride, and they do a few horse tracks, and then they have their own race. I don't know if they haven't told you about that.
In Africa?
They have a race in South Africa.
Yeah.
And they had a first time last year. It's called Race the Wild Coast, which is a stretch of coastline and Eastern Cape. It's called the Wild Coast. And it's very beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. But it's, it's tough. It's very tough. A few of the ex-Mongol Derby riders have ridden it. One of the people in the film actually won it last year. And but it's, I think it's very tricky terrain, because you have to go through really big rivers, and you have to wade through, you have to kind of up and down mountains and everything. I've not been, but it seems tricky. It seems pretty dicey, actually.
I want to tease something. We're going to talk in depth here a little bit later on about the film you did, All the Wild Horses.
Yeah.
And I wanted the listeners to hang around for that, because they are all going to want to buy this or see it in the theaters or wherever they can get to see it, because it is about the Mongol Derby, and you all have come to know Devin really well, and she kind of featured in this, right?
Yeah. Basically, so the way it happened, I filmed it 2 years. So I filmed two whole races, and I wrote both of them to film it. And then we had like another year of editing. It was a long process, because the race obviously only happens once a year. And if you don't get everything, then that's it. You're done for a whole year.
Yeah, you can't reshoot. And,
no, you can't. There's no way. So then if in the edit, you know, you look at it and you kind of cut it together, and then you realize maybe it's not quite good enough, because it needed to be a commercial movie that we can sell. It's not like, it wasn't going to be a little video. And so, after the second year, I realized we still need another story that's kind of dramatic and powerful. And then Devin told me that she was writing. And I knew her obviously already. And, so I knew she was going to go and create some drama, because, that's Devin. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just know.
I think we all know Devin by now.
And when she goes, she'll go there. She means business. So I asked her, can I film you and stuff? And she was very good. So I went again, and just to film her, not to ride it, and just filmed her and a few like other characters, but mainly her. And she really, really made that movie. So, you know, her and a few other characters, but she's really one of the focus characters in the film.
I got goosebumps. I want to see this now. I'm so waiting to see this. So when is it going to come out?
So it's coming out. We just had the premiere 2 weeks ago in Galway in Ireland. And we won Best International Feature Documentary off the bat. So that was a big surprise. Yeah, it was very nice. I didn't see that coming. I thought we might get the audience award because you know, people like it. And I know this. We have a lot of, we have like 35,000 followers on our Facebook site. So there's definitely a lot of enthusiasm for it, but I didn't see that coming. It's my first documentary, because before that I've only made drama. So my background is screenwriting. So what we're doing now is we're rolling out to festivals. So it's coming to New York, it's coming to North Carolina, it's coming to Austin, Texas, and a few cities in Canada, and then Europe, and where else? Greece, Asian country as well, can't remember, India as well. And sorry. And then it'll come to the theaters late fall. So we're hoping, so we're hoping, hoping November, but we're negotiating at the moment. So it might be early next year. It'll depend which country, and we'll put all that on our site, obviously. So, wherever we're going, it'll be announced. And the website
will
is.
Will you come back on the show and talk to us about it when it does, so we can.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, happily. Thank you.
Devin's become kind of a celebrity over here, too. So I can't wait to see this. I really can't wait to see it. So now let's go. Well, I want to talk to you more about filming that later, because I heard some badass things about you, too, in the filming of that. But I wanted to go back to the top five. Is it unusual now? We have five guys, as I see it, right, in the top five. Is that unusual? Usually there's a woman up there.
I think we got used to having women up front now for the last 2 or 3 years. And I think that it's a lot to do with the fact that the quality of writers got better and better over the years. I've seen that happen. And so the first year when I was writing, it was probably a ratio was more like 2/3 guys and it was like 10 girls, 20 guys, something like that. And that's definitely changed. And I'm surprised, actually, because I think girls have the advantage that they are just lighter, you know, and the horses are not that big. So they can normally ride a little bit faster if they, you know, if they want to. And like Devon is a good example. Like, she's tiny compared to me, for example.
Yeah. Well, even Jackie, who's leading right now, looks—he doesn't look tiny. I mean, he looks like a good-sized guy. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. And I know Barry, and Barry is definitely—he's kind of tall. He's probably almost he's definitely my kind of height. But I think he's lost a lot of weight for it. He looks very mean in the mugshot.
Now,
very lean.
Now, Marie was leading up on. She was in that front pack too until yesterday, I believe, when she dropped back. And now we have a whole pack of them that there's the top five, and then there's about five or six or seven of them that are in a group are following up from there.
I'm surprised. There's a lot of injuries this year again. I think last year we had very few, actually. This year there's like 10 at least. I think more even.
Do you think the weather had something to do with that too?
It seemed wild, yeah. But then the weather's always extreme. You know, the first year I was riding, it was just rain, a lot of rain. It was very cold. We had a lot of really big rivers to cross. Second year was very hot. And then when I filmed Devon, you know, she had a lot of really bad, very hot days. She was fighting with the heat a lot. So, yeah, that was her kind of downfall in the end.
What happens in this last couple of days as a rider? Are you just numb? I mean, are you just going at this point?
I think So what happened to me, from my own experience, the probably day three is the hardest day, maybe day four. But once you've done that, like day five, you kind of get more energy. And I remember every time I came through, like towards the finish, I could have gone on from there. So if they'd said, actually, this is not the finish, there's another like three stations to go, I would have been happy to do that. Because you're just like, you get into a rhythm and then you're just, you're good to go normally. I mean, I was lucky I didn't get chafed either, like both times. I was, yeah, fine. But, you know, there's people that get very chafed. And I think with this weather this year, there's been quite a lot of rain, I think. And then with the wet gear, then you get chafing and then, you know, then you start suffering.
And apparently, so, yeah, according to the rather candid Mongol Derby Twitter feed, which we've all learned about this year, yeah, some of the guys were getting chafed in places they shouldn't be chafed. Yeah, that was...
That seems to happen every year, though. okay. Yeah. And I suspect, I don't know if that's true, but I remember when I was going the first time, we were looking into, you know, padding and stuff. And then I was going to get those. There's these kind of endurance riding underpants or something.
Oh, yeah, they're like the bicyclists use. They have the padding in all the right places.
Yeah. But the thing is that they retain all the moisture, and you get really chafed. So
it'd just be a sponge, basically.
Yeah. And so actually, what I learned really first time around was, you know, the fewer layers you have, the better. And I went with, like, you know, just the endurance tights and then the breeches on top, and that's it. And then you don't retain any moisture. And yeah, I didn't get shaved at all. And then, yeah, so another guy that rode it that year, he went in jeans, in proper jeans. And obviously, like,
was he dead?
he got very, very chafed. Vanity won out. He said, I'm not going to go in riding tights.
And did he finish?
He did, yeah, he did, yeah.
But he suffered for a very long time.
Yeah, he's a rodeo rider, so that's his background. So, yeah.
I am here with Ivo Marlow, and we are talking, obviously, about the Mongol Derby and his experiences, as well as kind of keeping you updated. It looks like what they said today was there's 33 riders left, which, you know, we had, 48 to start? I think it was 48 to start.
Yeah, it was a lot more, yeah. So a lot have dropped out, and... I think Olivia.
Yeah, Liv Wood, who is one of the ones we were following, also injured her leg. Now, she was supposed to get back out there, and I was just checking to see if she did, if any of the listeners know, if they want to type in and let us know if she did get back out there. I'm trying to see that now.
Yeah, I was trying to follow up with her on Facebook and Twitter feed, but she said she was going to go back, but...
I don't think she has. From the looks of it, her GPS is way, 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 way back. So
I'd be surprised, because it's actually quite a feat to just to get people back. Like it's a long way from the city, and so it'll take at least 5-6 hours in the 4x4 to actually get her back into the race, and then and then she won't have time to even finish it. So,
That's a good question. Now they usually have a cutoff at 10 days from what I understand from Devin. And now we're heading into our seventh day. I just checked Leslie's tracking here, and they have like she has like 300 kilometers to go. So that's a good ways back. She's at 670 right now. So,
yeah. You know, so if they really let them ride 10 days, then she'll be able to finish it for sure, because 100K days, that's easy. But from my experience, they never really go to 10 days. It says they always say 10 days, but really I think they kind of cut it off at 9. But you know, we'll see. I don't make the rules.
But
they
kind of jump everybody ahead so they can finish.
They do, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because it's not just because they want them to finish. It's also because the further it's stretched out, the harder it is to look after them. Because they have, you know, they have a limited number of medics, and that's kind of what happened in my first year, that there was a bad accident, and I was present when that happened, and at that moment the riders were stretched out by like 250k, so that's a really long way if the medics are all the way at the front, and they had to stop the race at the time because they couldn't risk another injury at that moment. And so they need to kind of keep them a little bit together. And the other way to do it is to, what they did one year, they had like a course that kind of like serpentined around the country so that the medics were actually not that far from all the stations. Only the riders had to go the whole way. But yeah, I think that's why they do it, basically. They need to.
Yeah, and we have riders spread out through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stations right now. So that's tough to cover.
Yeah, that's 400 kilometers.
Yeah.
Or like 350 or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Yeah, so that's tough to cover. And that's, they were complaining about that on the Twitter feed, too, that they're really having to juggle.
And I think now it's a little bit better with... I think they can get a helicopter in now. My first year, they couldn't. There was basically no helicopter in Mongolia, so that was really tricky. So they have a little bit more coverage, like medically speaking. But yeah, they still, you know, it's still very remote. So you're fairly on your own if something bad happens.
There, I have a question. How far up do they move the back riders, and how many horse changes can they skip? Well, I guess that depends on how quickly they want to end it. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. I think then normally it would be maybe two stations or even three stations if they're too far back. Because at that point, it's just they want to give the riders a chance to kind of like ride through the finish. And get the whole experience without having to ride the whole race. And a lot of the riders at the back, they're kind of happy with that.
Yeah.
there's no chance to finish it. And so they get it at least. They get the last bit. And yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. Yeah. And a lot of those people, they're not in, you know, they kind of say they're in it for the race and to compete. But I think... to be honest, I think half the people that ride it, they're not really, that's not their main objective to win it.
It's the adventure.
Yeah. And that's very much good enough. You know, I rode it twice and I was filming both times. So I couldn't actually compete, and I'm very competitive, but I had to stop myself from, you know, I was sticking with people So I never kind of like, I rode with the front runner for a while because we were just leading, but you know, when he dropped back, I dropped back with him. The experience is the same. Like it's great, and you'll never forget it. It's something, you absolutely never forget.
What was the hardest thing about filming the movie over there?
It's the gear for a start. You have to, because you're very limited. So everyone can only take five kilos. And they don't, you know, they don't give me allowance to film it, obviously, as in they don't give me any extra weight. So all the camera gear, sound gear, all that stuff had to, come in, and then, you know, I had to get rid of anything else. I couldn't take any kind of like, you know, people take stuff like, power bars and, you know, all that stuff I couldn't take. And I just had a sleeping bag and a rain jacket, really. That was kind of it. And because what you have to take is you have to take all your stuff, you have to take all your batteries, you know, I have to make sure that it's like that the gear is going to, weather a storm. And that's really hard work. And you can't back up. Obviously, you can't like sit there every night and back up what you've shot over the day. You just have to make... you just have to hope that it's going to be safe. and the best thing, you know, I took was like I took a mini hard drive in a waterproof bag, and so when we had to cross the river and stuff, I could put all my gear in there, and But yeah, it's tricky. And the other really tricky part was the horses. They, you know, at the best of times, they're kind of like semi-wild. And so they kind of settle into your rhythm. So you ride, you're kind of doing all that stuff. And they're very, they pay a lot of attention to what you're doing. So if you're suddenly starting to film, they know that something has changed up there. And then I got, the one time I got backed off really badly was when I was filming. I was just starting to film and the horse just freaked out because it just, it felt the camera. Like maybe it saw something, a shadow, thought maybe it was like a whip or something, and it just freaked out. I got backed off in seconds. And yeah.
Was your camera okay?
Yeah,
was your
camera okay? It was okay, yeah. Yeah, but I had the whole fall on camera, which is fun. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's tricky. The filming on horseback is tricky because what I didn't do, what we didn't want to do, is film on GoPros, because that whole thing with your head camera, it creates a really weird perspective. It's very kind of wide angle, distorted, and it looks wrong, because if you've seen that ever. You know, you look down and it looks like the head is way down there. And yeah, it just looks wrong. So you need to do it handheld. And yeah, you ride one handed with the camera, like in the other hand. You get like quite a sore wrist.
Yeah, nothing like complicating your ride, like
complicating your ride, right?
No, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, you gotta be used to riding kind of one handed, like kind of Western style. Which I was anyway, so that was okay. And the horse is there, to be fair. Like the Mongolians, that's kind of the way they ride, mainly. So they don't ride like English style.
Well, what's the website?
What's the website?
Getting a little bit of an echo now, by the way. So I'm hearing myself twice here. So
right.
Yeah. Oh, so the website is allthewildhorsesmovie.com, and then on Facebook, which is where we put all the updates as well. It's basically facebook.com and then / All the Wild Horses Movie. Yeah, and that's where you can just follow the page, and we put all the updates there. And like at the moment, we're putting all the festivals one by one. We're going to be in Tryon International Film Festival, which is in
October.
It's in North Carolina in October, like mid-October, yeah. I think. And then Equius in New York in beginning of November. And then, yeah, there's a lot more coming in. So we'll put all those on the website.
That sounds terrific. Well, we're going to call it a night. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll have you back.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Definitely. And everybody, right. We're going to be back tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning Live at 9
a.m. Eastern.
And I know you're here. And I know you're here. So we're just going to hop on out of here. Thanks, everybody.
All
right. All right.